Hello, and welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily, and Leo.
Hello, and each episode will tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you.
So, Leo, how have you been?
I've been great. How are you?
I'm good. Did you enjoy our spooky Halloween episode?
Oh, it was chilling, but also really funny.
It was. We had lots of funny jokes, didn't we? And we have got a very special episode of the podcast coming up. We have got, well, can you guess what might be coming?
Well, it's getting kind of colder around here, so I'm thinking maybe Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. Now, it's an epic story, so it'll be a two-parter, and we're not quite there yet, are we? It's such a big tale. So this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. And what I thought might be nice is if you could tell us one of your own stories, Leo.
I'd be happy to.
So this is one you've actually come up with yourself, isn't it?
Yep. I felt like writing a folk tale, so here we go.
Folk tale. So, yeah, folk tales, you have to write in a very sort of specific way.
Yeah.
They're told, they're quite simple, aren't they? Because they're oral stories.
Yeah, they're quite simple. And there's usually some kind of moral to them or message at the end.
Oh, brilliant. What's your folk tale called?
My folk tale is called The Nurse and the Wolf.
Okay, so here comes Leo's folk tale. Off you go.
The Wolf and the Nurse. Once upon a time, there was a hunter who was married to a nurse. Every day he would leave the safety of his home to find an adequate amount of food for him and his spouse, hunting many animals. One day he was creeping through the dry leaves of the forest when he spotted a wolf drinking from a clear, icy lake. The hunter drew his bow and fired at the wolf, wounding its side. The wolf howled and bit the hunter, its teeth digging into the flesh on his leg before bolting into the trees. The hunter made it all the way home and fell to his knees. He died on the doorstep. When the nurse found him, after weeping for days, she decided to find and kill the wolf who hurt her love. Every day she placed a bear trap and meat outside of her house, on the doorstep, her husband's deathbed. One eve, after weeks of repeating this action, she heard a howling from outside the door. When she opened it, she saw the wolf lying on the doorstep and gasped. The large creature was bleeding out. She saw the withering arrow on its side and its new wound, the wound she created. She cried. She wasn't a hunter. She was a nurse. So, she carried the dying creature into her home and placed it onto the bed, the blood seeping through the sheets. She slowly began to treat the wounds and help the wolf recover. At first, the wolf tried to bite her, but it was so tired it could hardly move. Slowly, ever so slowly, the wolf started to feel better about the wounds and even the nurse. When the wolf was finally fully healed, it loved the nurse. But a wild animal could not live without the wild. The nurse knew that it was time. She opened the door slowly, and the wolf sniffed that fresh air. It looked at the nurse before stepping outside. It gave its carer one final blink, and then it disappeared into its world. The world full of hunters and death and danger, but also the world full of beauty and nature. The world that was its home. The world that will always be our home. The end. So, Emily, did you like my story?
I loved it, Leo. I thought it was beautiful. I loved the structure of the story. I loved the connection with nature. And I also liked the kindness and the understanding of the nurse. The way that she knew that the wolf was a wild thing and that it's not personal what happened. It's just the way things are.
Yeah. What was your favourite bit?
I really liked the way that her revenge turned into compassion. This beast that had killed her husband, she realised that it was wounded and that she wasn't a hunter. She was a nurse and had the power to heal. I thought that was just very special. Well done, Leo. What an excellent story.
So I think it's time for some shout-outs.
Oh, let's have some shout-outs. Who have we got today?
Well, firstly, we have Carmen from London. And she really liked the Robin Hood story.
Oh, excellent. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Thanks for listening.
Next, we have Julia, who is turning 6 in Newcastle, Australia.
Oh, g'day, Julia.
G'day, Julia. And happy birthday.
Thanks for listening. Oh, who's next, Leo?
Well, we have another birthday shout-out to superfan Nara, who has a birthday coming up this month.
Oh, hi, Nara.
Hi, Nara.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
And finally, here's a shout-out to Helena in London.
Oh, Helena, your D&D mate.
Yep.
Hi, Helena. Thanks for listening. Oh, that was brilliant. And remember, if you at home would like a shout-out on the podcast, then you can either let us know in the Dragonfly Tales Facebook group. We've got a special chat there just for shout-outs. Or you can email us at emilydragonflytales@gmail.com.
Tell us your age and your town, please.
And I'll put all of those details, as always, in the show notes.
So, Emily, what's your story today?
Well, Leo, my story is about a witch. A very famous witch who lives in the snowy forests of Russia.
Ooh.
And I don't think we've covered her yet, but I'm pretty sure you know who she is. She flies around in a mortar and pestle, and her house is on chicken legs.
Russia, house on chicken legs. It's Baba Yaga!
It's Baba Yaga! And I know we've told versions of Baba Yaga, because she does appear in other cultures.
Yeah.
Zico and the Greedy Witch, Ceci, is a version. You remember that one, don't you?
All the way from season one.
Yeah, and also Mama Draga as well.
Yeah, Mama Draga, I love that story.
The greedy ogress who likes to eat children. So we're going to dive into the snowy forests of Russia. So how do you think we should start, Leo?
I think we should start deep in the snowy forest in the heart of Russia.
Excellent. In the snowy forest in the heart of Russia was a small clearing. And in that clearing was a crooked little hut which stood on two giant chicken legs.
What?
The hut would rock back and forth on its big chicken feet, creaking. Can you do that with me, Leo? And inside that strange little hut lived the witch, Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
She was always hungry. She looked terrifying. Imagine, Leo, long, greasy, white hair, bony fingers with sharp nails, huge nostrils in her huge nose, always sniffing. And her jaw and teeth were made of iron.
Ooh, that sounds scary.
She could crunch and munch through bone. Can you do it with me, Leo?
Munchity crunch.
Munchity crunch. She sounds horrible, doesn't she?
Yup.
Her favourite food?
Children.
It's human flesh, especially nice, plump children. And all around her hut with the chicken legs was a fence built from human bones.
Oh, leftovers. I do not want to go near that fence.
No, and on every fence post was placed a human skull whose eye sockets glowed with fire when it was dark.
That sounds terrifying.
Now, when Baba Yaga went out hunting, she would climb into a mortar, rowing the air with a pestle and sweeping her tracks away with a broom.
A mortar and a pestle? What is that?
Well, it's usually something you find in a kitchen. A mortar is a big bowl that you put seeds and herbs in, and a pestle is what you use to grind them up. But imagine, these are giant. She can fit her whole body inside the iron mortar and use the pestle to row her through the air and through the birch tree.
I hope she doesn't grind bones in that.
Yeah, me too. So no one dared go near the bone fence for fear of ending up in the witch's blazing oven. Until one day, she had a visitor who lived to tell the tale. A young girl named Vasilisa. Vasilisa lived with her mother and father on the edge of the birch wood forest, and all went very well until one day her mother became very ill. She called Vasilisa to her bedside and said, "My dear child, I shall leave you soon and go to another place. But take this little doll. It is magical. Whenever you need help, give it a little crumb of food and it will comfort you. It will work for you, for this doll is my blessing to you."
A magical doll?
Yes, a magical little wooden doll given by her mother.
That's so cool.
Vasilisa took the little doll, her mother's blessing. She kissed her mother for the last time, and her sweet mother died. Time moved on. The seasons changed, the wheel turned, the years passed. And soon, Vasilisa's father married again, and his second choice was a poor one.
An evil stepmother.
Yes, and she had two cruel and ugly stepdaughters. They were jealous of Vasilisa's good nature and her beauty, and they made fun of her behind her back. Until one day Vasilisa's father had to go far away to town on business, leaving the stepmother in charge. As soon as he was gone, all three turned on Vasilisa. They teased her, they prodded her, they poked her, they made her do all of the work in the house. "Vasilisa, tend to the pigs. Vasilisa, sweep the floor. Vasilisa, cook us food. Vasilisa, mend my dress."
That sounds unbearable.
And every night poor Vasilisa would creep up to her dusty, cobwebby room in the attic, and she would lie down on the cold floor and take out the little doll. She would feed it a tiny crumb, and the doll would come alive, its eyes gently glowing. It would sing to her through the gloom. As Vasilisa slept, the little doll would magically sweep the house and mend the dresses, and clean up the messes, so that when Vasilisa awoke the next morning, she felt refreshed and happy and well rested. And this angered the stepmother and the daughters, for Vasilisa always had bright eyes and rosy cheeks. How is this possible, they thought.
They're so envious and mean.
They had heard of the old witch in the woods, and they plotted to get rid of Vasilisa once and for all.
Oh no, not Baba Yaga.
One night, in the dead of winter, the evil stepmother let all of the candles in the house burn down until all four were sat in darkness. The sisters began bickering. "Oh, Mama, I can't see a thing."
"Well, that's good. No one can see your ugly face."
"Oh, you be quiet."
"No, you be quiet. No one cares about you."
"Daughters, we shall send Vasilisa to get some light. Vasilisa, girl, go into the birch wood, find Baba Yaga and bring us back some light."
"Yeah, Vasilisa, go talk to Baba Yaga."
"Yes, right away, and don't come back until you've got some light." Vasilisa was hurried out of the house into the cold night with nothing but a shawl over her head and shoulders. Vasilisa stepped into the forest and picked her way among the gleaming white trunks of the birch trees. She felt the little doll in her pocket, and it gave her some comfort. As she walked, she felt the eyes of the forest creatures glittering upon her from the shadows. Strange rustlings and murmurings came from deep in the bushes. Branches crackled, leaves rustled. And then out of the darkness of the wood, Vasilisa heard the sound of hooves coming towards her. Horses' hooves galloping.
"Vasilisa, hide, it could be Baba Yaga."
So she did, but it wasn't. It was a rider dressed all in white, and as his horse passed by her hiding place, the silver rays of the dawn glimmered in the sky.
Dawn comes when the rider passes. What does that mean?
Exactly. Vasilisa picked her way through the dawn, through the forest in search of Baba Yaga's creaking hut. She had not gone too far when another rider on horseback came galloping through the forest. This time he was dressed all in red, and as he whisked past her, the sun rose high and hot in the sky, shining on the tippy tops of the trees.
This rider brings the midday sun.
She walked on all day through the trees, and just as she thought she could not go any further, she came to the clearing. There in the distance, she saw the chicken hut creaking from one leg to the other. Are you ready? Creak, 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 creak. She could not believe her eyes. Vasilisa clutched the little doll in her pocket in terror as she noticed the fence of human bones, the skulls on top of each fence post, and a gate whose lock was a human jaw, sharp teeth.
Let's hope her bones don't become part of the fence.
A shiver ran down her spine as she saw the sharp teeth of the lock and the fence of bones, but just then she heard galloping horses' hooves behind her.
Oh no, could it be Baba Yaga?
No, she turned to see a third rider dressed all in black. He rode around Baba Yaga's hut and off into the woods, and behind him the night came and all fell black.
The rider brings the night.
At the same moment, the skulls around the fence, their eye sockets began to glow with fire.
There's light.
But there was more to come. Vasilisa's heart froze as she heard a crashing and a creaking. Something was coming towards the hut through the trees, loud, furious, storm-like.
Baba Yaga!
Baba Yaga came crashing through in her great iron mortar. Will you stop that creaking? All at once, the hut on chicken legs stopped. Baba Yaga sniffed the air with her huge nostrils. I smell Russian blood. A girl. Where are you? Come out. Show yourself to me.
No, Vasilisa, don't show yourself.
Vasilisa clutched the little doll in her pocket. She bravely stood up, and she walked out towards the witch. She bowed before her. It is I, Baba Yaga. My name is Vasilisa. My step family have sent me here for light.
Ha! Light? You wish for light? Well, you will have to pay for it. If not, I shall grind your bones in my mortar, girl.
And then the witch turned to her gates and shouted,
Open up, snappy jaws! Open wide for me!
The bone hinges swung with a piercing shriek, and Baba Yaga's mortar whisked inside. The old witch hobbled out of her mortar. She clapped her hands three times and all of her tools disappeared. Are you ready? One, two, three. Whoosh! Come inside, child. I'm hungry. Make me food. And so Vasilisa followed the old woman inside the hut with the chicken legs. She looked in the oven and found roast suckling pig. She found pickled mushrooms in the pantry, salted herring, butter and borscht. And she served all the food, enough for 10 people, to the greedy old witch, who guzzled and gobbled it down.
Well, at least she's not being served children.
That's true. Actually sounds quite nice what she's eating.
Yup.
Finally, the old witch wiped the juices from her thin lips. Tomorrow, I go out and you clean the house from top to bottom. Do you hear me, girl?
Yes, Baba Yaga, I hear you.
And then the witch fell asleep and snored and snored.
Vasilisa curled up in a corner. She took the little doll from her pocket and its eyes glittered and glowed. Oh, little doll, what am I to do?
The morning is wiser than the evening. Go to sleep, Vasilisa, and fear not.
When Vasilisa awoke early the next morning, the glowing eyes of the skulls were fading to blankness. A white horseman galloped past the hut, bringing the streaming light of dawn.
Baba Yaga woke up. She whistled for her mortar and pestle, which appeared along with the broom. She hopped inside and then she stroked her long hairy chin. Remember, girl, clean this house from top to bottom or I'll grind your bones.
Then she swept down from the hut and screamed at the gate.
Open up, look! Open snappy jaws!
And then she was gone, leaving Vasilisa alone in the hut. But the little doll was ready. It leapt from Vasilisa's pocket. It washed all the clothes and hung them up neatly to dry and whiten in the sun. Then it swept and swept the yard. It raked all the dirt into neat patterns. Shall we help the little doll, Leo? Let's sweep, sweep, sweep. Here we go.
Sweep, sweep, sweep. Sweep,
sweep, sweep. Sweep, sweep. Let's polish the floor.
Polish, 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 polish.
Polish, polish, polish. Let's wash up the dishes.
Wash, wash, wash.
Wash, wash, wash. And as the little doll cleaned the house, Vasilisa explored. She saw with curiosity the chests full of silver, the mysterious jars and bottles on the witch's shelves, the jugs full of strange liquid. When the red horseman galloped past, bringing the hot noonday sun, Vasilisa sat out on the porch as the chicken hut creaked backward and forward. Creak, 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 creak.
I wish I had a doll to do my chores.
You've got a mum to do them with you. Eventually, the black rider swept by and the skull's eyes began to gleam. Night had come. Vasilisa heard the far-off rustlings of the witch's arrival, and then she heard Baba Yaga scream.
Open up, look! Open, snappy jaws! Ah, Vasilisa, everything done?
Well, I hope she likes it.
She clapped her hands three times, her mortar, pestle and broom vanished. Are you ready? Yes, Baba Yaga. Please come and see for yourself. Baba Yaga marched into the hut to inspect it, growing more and more angry at each piece of tidily folded linen, at each neatly scrubbed pot, at the cleanly polished floor.
It seems you have done your tasks well. Now prepare my food.
And just as before, Vasilisa opened the blazing oven and found meat. She opened the cupboards and found bread. She opened the pantry and found pastries, mushrooms, borscht, and fed the gargantuan meal to the witch. And then, after reminding Vasilisa of her tasks the next day, the witch fell to snoring again. Vasilisa curled up again in the corner.
The little doll's eyes glistened brightly.
Oh, doll, will I ever escape this witch? I'm so cold and I'm so lonely. And what if she grinds my bones?
The little doll sang gently to Vasilisa. In the dawn, Baba Yaga disappeared for a third day in her mortar and pestle. The little doll, after having some crumbs, set to work as it had before, cleaning and washing and sparkling all, until the skull's eyes gleamed at the witch's return.
Open lock! Open, snappy jaws!
The gate screeched open and the witch came in. When she saw Vasilisa had yet again completed all the tasks, she settled down in front of the fire to wait for her supper. And when she had gorged herself, she looked hard at the girl.
Vasilisa, I am in a good mood tonight. I'm sure you have questions. So this once I will answer them. Ask away, girl.
Well, Baba Yaga, I wish to know about the riders. The white and the red and the black. Who are they? And what do they do?
Baba Yaga sat back in her chair and smoked on her pipe.
It is good you ask of this place and not of me. The riders you see, they bring the day. The white brings the dawn. The red brings the hot noon sun. And the black brings the night. This is my world. These are my rules. Ask me another.
Vasilisa thought. Baba Yaga, will you ever give me light and let me go home? Or will you grind my bones and eat me?
That is for me to know and you to find out. Now I will ask you a question, and woe betide, girl, if you lie to me.
Yes, Baba Yaga, what is it you wish to know?
The witch leaned in towards Vasilisa, her iron jaws grinding together. Tell me, girl, how is it you manage to complete every task I give you? My floor is swept, my linen is cleaned, my dishes and jugs are spotless. How do you manage in one small day?
Now Vasilisa thought she could lie to the witch or she could tell her the truth. Leo, what do you think she should do?
I mean, Vasilisa could lie, but if Baba Yaga found out, who knows what she could do?
She could grind her bones.
Exactly.
So, truth?
Truth.
Truth. Vasilisa reached into her pocket and she took out her mother's blessing, the little doll. Here, Baba Yaga, I have this blessing from my mother. This little doll helps me to complete my tasks.
Baba Yaga shrank back in horror.
Why does she seem afraid from it? Oh no, is she going to throw it out the window?
No.
Is she going to damage it?
No.
Is she going to do something terrible to it?
No.
What's she going to do?
Baba Yaga stared at Vasilisa and then back at the doll. So, she said, you have a mother's blessing and a magic doll to keep you safe. Therefore, I cannot keep you here.
Open up, lock! Open up, snappy jaws!
And Vasilisa heard the gate screech open on the bone fence.
Go take one of my skulls. Bring the light back to your stepmother and stepsisters. Be sure they look at it and enjoy every bit of it. Now go!
Vasilisa was not to be told twice. She put the little doll in her pocket. She ran from the hut. She grabbed one of the glowing skulls, which lit up her way. She picked her way through the trees, racing this way, falling that way. On and on she went, finally, until she saw the edge of the birch wood. When she reached her home, she could not believe her eyes. The entire house was still
in darkness.
What? I thought it was all a trick. Why didn't they just go buy candles from the market after she was eaten?
Well, they did. They thought they were sending her off to die with Baba Yaga. But every time they bought candles, the candles would not stay alight in the house. Every time they lit the oil lamps would burn down. And now the three of them sat shivering with cold and hunger.
Mama, I'm starving.
Mama, I'm famished.
Oh, shut up, both of you. I'm starving and famished and freezing. You see, ever since the day they threw Vasilisa out, no light would burn in the house.
So they had no light on the long dark evenings? No heat to keep them warm?
Nothing. They couldn't cook, they couldn't even make a cup of tea, and now Vasilisa walked in with the glowing skull. The stepmother and the stepsisters turned their faces eagerly toward the skull. The eyes of the skull suddenly began to glow with fire. Its light followed the stepmother and stepsisters around the room. It burned into them with a white, hot light. It flared, it flickered, it blazed, and it burned the three of them to ashes.
I was not expecting that.
With the three evil women gone, Vasilisa swept the house, lit the lights, and with the help of the little doll, she made a home once more. And finally, her father returned. They lived together, happy for many, many years. And if ever Vasilisa felt alone or sad, she would take out her little doll, her mother's blessing, and it would sing to her.
The end.
So, Leo, did you like this story?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
What was your favourite bit?
Well, actually, I really liked how Baba Yaga didn't actually eat Vasilisa. And maybe she wasn't as evil as she was made out to be.
Yeah, this is often the way in these old stories. The bone women, Baba Yaga, Mama Draga, they kind of behave in a way that reflects the person in front of them. Vasilisa was good and she was kind and she had the blessing of her mother. And yeah. So Baba Yaga can't hurt her. And I kind of like that. She's neither good nor bad, but her reputation makes her seem very scary. I kind of like the riders in this story as well.
Yeah, they're very cool, how they control the dawn, the day and the night.
Yeah, Baba Yaga's servants on horseback. Mm-hmm. It's such a symbolically beautiful story. Lots of light and lots of dark. And thankfully, a happy ending.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks to me for my brilliant story.
Yes, thank you, Leo.
And hopefully we'll have a guest teller coming soon.
And if you are enjoying our podcast, then please, please find some time to leave us a little review.
5 stars, please.
5 stars would be brilliant. Or you can make a little donation to the podcast to keep us going. And thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily and Leo.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast and we'll be back with another story soon.
But until then, if you meet with the Bone Woman, be sure to be true.
And here is our blessing from us to you.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod, and follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.
Munchety crunch, munchety crunch.